Good morning. It's wonderful to be here with you. Another day, right? Another day, another Sunday to come and worship in the name of Jesus Christ. Yesterday, a pretty important event happened in this world. It's called the coronation of King Charles III. I don't know if you caught it or not. Joy got up early in the morning to watch it. I caught the last half an hour or so of it. Yeah, and one thing that caught my attention, of course, hers as well, because she saw the whole thing, is how biblically based it was. You know, this is over a millennium. They said the first one that reign was starting in 1066, so it's over 1,000 years that this family line has been reigning in England, and for better or worse, But this coronation was really Bible based. They were singing scripture, they were reading scripture. It was really a powerful moment. And also, when he went out into Buckingham Palace and they had thousands of troops out there, and they all gave that cheer, hoorah, hip hip hooray, hip hip hooray, hip hip hooray. I was going, I could just see that way back then, them doing that as well. And hopefully they were honoring the Christ as well as they were this time too. So, pray for the king, for King Charles, because he does have influence, not only just in that country, but around the world as well. And we have a good relationship between the United States and England, and just for wisdom and discernment and all those different things as well. It's kind of funny for an American to say, pray for the king, because we're so rebellious. But we have a king, and we have rebelled against him, and that's why we're in the place we are now. And the Israelites had a king, but they rebelled against him because they wanted a human king. And they found out that that wasn't all that what it was kicked up to be. So, we learn things, and whether we actually live by them, that's a whole other thing. As we're looking in scripture here, Hebrews, and that verse 14, I'm verse 4, verse 14. Verse 4 says, "So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs." And I was going, well, the name, what name are they talking about? And then it brought me to, I know all you students and all, if we can remember, Romeo and Juliet, Shakespeare, having being forced to read it, or but it's a power. It's an interesting story, actually, when you look into it, read it, and stuff like that. And I just kind of remember a little bit of here and there. So that just brought up, what is that? What's in a name? That was actually a very interesting question that he was asking. And then, of course, the answer was this. A rose by any other name would smell sweet. And so we're going to be kind of understanding, what is this name, and does it have significance? Does the name have significance, or is there more behind that we have to get to know? That's what we're looking at in our, today in this scripture. And one thing I don't know about you, but it kind of, when we're talk about names, I remember for Joy and I, we took painstakingly a long time to name both of our sons. And so, Nolan and Cameron, and we were looking at the meanings of the name, which is, for us it was important. Their middle names have meaning as well, that were very good meanings. And we also didn't want to copy the people around us either. So we were very, very, trying to be very sure with that. And we're both pretty happy with names. Are you guys happy with your names? All right. That's good to know. Cam's still debating on his. So we're looking into this, about these names. Now, back in Israel, first century Israel, and even in the older times, beyond, that, names had significant importance. They still have meaning for us today. And whether we live up to those meanings or not, I don't know. That's a good question, too, for us. But back then, their names had meaning. In Thailand, the Thai, I think, do they have the longest names in the world? I think they do. And they all have meanings. And their meanings are so just well, what would you say? Over the top? Brilliant? You know, like, yeah, I can't even, I don't even want to say some of them, you know. They're pretty prideful names, okay? Pretty glorifying, self-glorifying names. And if you're, you know, I should have put one up on the screen, actually. So I'm sorry. Sumbun, but that's a nickname, right? Well, yeah, that's true, too. Yeah, the shorter ones like Sumbun. Oh, those are last names that had even more of a meaning, too. But Sumbun is like Mr. Perfect. You know, Sa'at is Mr. Clean. You know, things like that. So, but they had to give one another nicknames because they're afraid of the spirits to attack them. Because if you're thinking you're all, they're going, oh, well, we're gonna take you down, you know. So they would give them names such as Fatty, Sugar Cane, Frog, you know, and things like that. Shrimp, Chicken. I'm surprised they didn't have chicken legs, something like that. They probably did. But all these different things. So, you know, what's in a name, right? And really, what's in a name? We're going to learn a little bit more about, you know, it's not really the name as much as it is, you know, the thing or the person that carries that name. And so that's what we're going to be getting at today as well. Let's pray before we continue on. Father, your word is awesome and powerful and living, so we just ask that you cause it to come alive by the power of your Holy Spirit, even now, that you'll soften our hearts to be able to take it in, and not just to grow and to learn in it, Lord, but to take it out and live it, to be your witnesses, to be those who proclaim Christ to others and all you've done for us, and the name of Jesus, how precious it is, Lord. So bless this time, and may you receive all the glory and praise in it. Pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I don't know if you remember the old show. You younger guys, you probably know, have no clue, but I have a little bit of clue here. I don't like to admit it so much, but what's my line? These guys, they had celebrities usually, and they would try to guess. They'd bring somebody on. They'd try to guess the occupation of that person by asking questions and stuff like that. It was pretty fun back then. I don't know about now, you know, how it would go over. But when I was thinking about what's that name, and I could think that they would be asking, people be asking questions and stuff like that. Like I was asking questions. Well, when you look at verse 5 there, it says, "For to which of the angels did God ever say, 'You are my son'?" And that's the name. And I kind of went, "What? Son? Is that a name?" And I said, well, I can see it as a position in a family. Okay, I can see that. So I was a little confused. But then I started thinking about our culture a little bit. And a lot of times, I don't know if we use it as much now, but as in earlier times, but, you know, a father or a mother to their son, they'd go, "Son, you know, would you come over here and help me out? Son, that was a great game you had today. Son, would you stop eating my cookies?" You know, things like that. Right? So it's pretty much just using as a name of endearment. So I feel like this was, you know, this name to the father, you know, he called him son, you know, is a name of intimacy, endearment, something very precious to the father. You know, so I said, okay, this I can go with that. You know, the son. The son is very powerful, that name, and what we have in there. Even, you know, as we look at these scriptures that were used to show that this son is superior to the angels. Now, people are saying, well, why is this so important? Well, because if you looked at 2 Corinthians 2, 8, I think it is. Let me 2 Corinthians, for Colossians, I'm sorry, 2, 8. I'll read that for you. I think it's 2, 8. Maybe I'm wrong. Did I write that down? 2:18. If I can find it here, in Colossians. And it says, "Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you." So there must have been an issue going on in those times of the early church. People were all up on these angels, you know, and we kind of talked about that last week too. So there was, you know, starting to sidetrack the believers from, you know, the importance of keeping our eyes on Jesus Christ alone and not falling off to getting sidetracked by angels or other things that will cause them to lose sight of really where their salvation relies upon and who they should be giving thanks to and to worship and to follow. So that, I thought that was pretty important for us to understand as well. So these quotations, they have five about the Son as we look here. You know, I will be his Father and you will be my Son. And then, you know, and then it talks about the greatness of the Son, his dominion, his kingdom. You know, when you talk about your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. You know, so you're talking about all these things about the Son. And even as they go on, it says, and you know, the Son is the agent, God's the Father's agent in creation and bringing redemption to the people. So God sent him forth as a creator because he created things in the beginning. The Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth. Well, everything was created through Christ and for him. And so he was there laying the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. So he has an everlasting dominion. So, and then at the last part there in 13, it says, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. He's all powerful. There's no one greater than this, the name of the Son of God. And with that, you kind of go, well, there shouldn't be any debate. Well, there must have been debate going on because they had to write these things. He wouldn't be writing this unless there was an issue going on in the church, right? So he's just making it, what we say, making it clear. He was clarifying. He says, these are the tracks you get on, and this is the, you just go straight ahead. You don't have to go to the right or to the left. Just keep moving forward to Christ. And then some people ask, well, what about these angels then? What are so good about the angels? Or what is it was interfering? Well, we know that they're created beings. If you looked at Colossians again in 1:16, it talks about, you know, everything was created, you know, by Christ. And these angels were created beings. We do not know how he created them. Maybe he spoke them into being as when he spoke creation into being. That could be. They were there, we know, at the creation, time of creation. They were singing praises unto God. If you looked at Job, the book of Job, and you would see that as well. But, you know, I think with that, you just have to kind of look a little bit more here on verses 4 just to see what they're talking about, these angels, and not verse 4, I'm sorry, verse 6. It says, and again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, let all God's angels worship him. So the angels were to worship God and to worship his Son. So we know they were worshipers. And if you go into the book of Revelation, you really see that as well. See them worshiping God the Father and the Son. And you also see there in verse 7, he makes his angels spirits and his servants flames of fire. And we saw that in Pentecost, didn't we? And we saw that even at the burning bush where Moses went, you know, as an angel. You know, because God coming in the presence of man would not be a good thing, all right? Because we cannot stand before him. So he has to send his servants to communicate. Even the law of Moses, you know, on Mount Sinai was given by the angels and you know, being those messengers of God for them. So they're messengers. They were servants, they were worshipers, they were created beings. They're powerful and mighty. And we also know that they protected. And here it says there in that last part, it says, verse 14, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? So they have an important role in our lives as well. In the lives of Israel, they have, you know, the archangel Daniel is the one, right? Not Daniel, Michael. I'm always thinking Daniel for some reason. But Michael is the one that's supposed to be the special protector of that nation of Israel. So you have all these things about angels. So I think that's what kind of gets people thinking. You know, they've encountered angels and they've done these mighty things, and then they start to, you know, just drift and start focusing upon them. Just like we do in our lives, how we drift and start focusing upon other things in our lives that are very important, like jobs, family, and, you know, just, you know, sports teams and things like that, right? They become so important to us, and our attention starts going zoop, and we forget about our real, true reason for living, and that is Christ, and to put Him number one in our lives, the highest priority of what we do in our lives. So that is why he is writing this. And of course, remember, a rose by any other name would smell just as sweet, right? So it doesn't matter about that name as much, though that name is very important as well. And so we have to kind of get a little bit more into that. Oops, I like that. Did you ever see that movie, Angels in the Outfield? That's a cool movie. Angels. California Angels back then. They were great too. But that was I always thought that was a way that angels were involved in lives, and they're involved in our lives as well, which is kind of amazing when you think about that. That they are, they're serving us and they're helping, guiding us, and I believe they're protecting us. I feel like I've been protected many times driving on the roads of L.A. or in Thailand, okay? Many things that could have happened. I could have run into elephants or water buffalo in Thailand going at 80 miles per hour. Yes, I could have, because people do. You know, so God protected me, especially driving at night. So what about that name then? So we're talking about this name, okay, the Son, that's great. So we got to get a little bit more into this. What is it about it? Because, you know, what Shakespeare is saying, the name really doesn't mean anything, right? But it's that person or that thing, that's what matters, right? So we have to think a little bit. So when you look at this name, so it comes down to, if you go back to the Christmas story in Luke, and as an angel, Gabriel comes and visits with Mary, he gives her this wonderful news. And Mary's going, whoa, you know, what's going on? He says, well, you know, you're going to have a son. But it's not going to be of human origins. You know, it's going to be by the Holy Spirit. And you're going to call him Jesus. Right? You're going to call him Jesus. And this Holy One born to you will be called the what? Son of God. So now you're starting to put that together, right? Jesus and Son of God. Now, back in ancient Israel, Jesus, that was a very common name. Very common name. It's kind of like John or Dan or Jim or, you know, I don't know about Don as much, but that's not so popular anymore, Don. But we'll work on that one, okay? We'll work on that. But this, his name, so, and you know, even in Jesus Christ's time, when he was walking on earth, there were other Jesuses around, and they were stirring up trouble. And they were rebelling against the Roman government. So this Jesus, they're going to Jesus of Nazareth. So, and there's nothing good that comes from Nazareth. Must be one of these other guys leading a pack of ragtag people, and they're going to try to rebel. And really what usually happens is that the guy would die somehow or get put in prison, and everything would just fall away. And I think a lot of the people back then were waiting for the same thing, for this Jesus to go the same way, to fade away, to fade out of the scene with no significance in the lives of the people. So, and you know why the name of Jesus is so popular? What's the meaning of Jesus? Savior. Save. You know, Joshua, remember the book of Joshua? Remember that guy, the right-hand man of Moses who took the Israelites across the Jordan River to take over the promised land that God promised his ancestors? His name was Joshua. His name was Yeshua. Yeshua means save. Same thing. If you go to other countries, you'll hear Yeshua. That's Jesus. Save. So, yeah, we're in trouble. We're let's name my child Jesus because he's going to save us. I know this guy's going to grow up big. He's going to grow up strong. He's going to lead an army. We're going to take out the Roman Empire, and we're going to have sovereign rule again as Israel. Yeah, so I would name my child Jesus too. So that's why. And then you say, well, why does it say Jesus Christ? Or sometimes when you read in your Bible, it says Christ Jesus. Well, Christ is a title of authority, kind of like doctor, right, or coach, you know. A lot of times we use those names, you know, president, you know. So that's, we have to kind of think about that title, you know, kind of like what his job is. Well, Jesus' title was Christ or the Messiah, either one, all right? One's Hebrew and one's Greek. And then, but the meaning is anointed one or chosen one. That was his job, his title. He's the anointed one. Anointed one to do what? He was the chosen one. What was that all about? Well, to carry out a redemption plan of the Father, to save people, to look for the lost and save them. Right? Seek the lost and to save them. All who do not know Jesus Christ as a personal Lord and Savior are lost spiritually. They got off the track, or they never were on the track. And by grace of God, we are here because he found us and he brought us on that track to follow him. And to receive these great gifts of everlasting life that only he can provide, and being in the presence of God. And if you know, you look at Exodus 13, you'll talk about these importance of names. Well, when Moses met with God and he's going, well, I got to tell these guys who you are. And he's going, I am who I am. I will be who I will be. It's a powerful statement that he gave them. And they used that name. I need to get into a deeper study on that name, but I think they said something like in the first century AD, they stopped using the name, that name, that the I am, because it was so sacred to them. And you know, when they really spell it, there's no vowels to it. Y-H-W-H or something like that. And with that, we try to pronounce it Yahweh or Jehovah. But we're not really quite sure of the name, what it sounds like. It's that sacred of a name. And it should be. And then if you want to look a little bit more about, you know, this name, well, God the Father gave, you know, Jesus, you know, for all he's done, he gave him a name above every other name. And at that name, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. And then Joel, the prophet Joel, you know, say, hey, call upon the name. Call upon the name. Why? Why do you call upon this name? That name is just the name. It doesn't matter. It doesn't. But what matters is who's carrying that name. You can call me Jesus all you want, but you're not going to get you're not going to get anything from me. All right? Maybe I might give you a boot in the rear end once in a while. What's wrong with that? Was there something wrong with that? We all need that once in a while, or a lollipop. Does that make you feel better? A little lollipop? Randy liked that one. But whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Call upon the name. Why do I call upon the name of Jesus? Because this person of Jesus is the one who died on the cross for everyone in the history of this planet. All of mankind. Because he was worthy to die for us, to take our place on the cross. Because we're as sinners, we deserve to die for our own sins. But Jesus said, Father, I'm going to carry out your salvation plan because I know you love these people and I'm going to rescue them. I'm going to die for them because I am God and I can take all that sin on myself because I'm perfect. I have no sin. That's why he was born of a virgin, because it was a powerful birth without any sin involved. And so with that, Jesus becomes our Savior because he died for us, but it didn't stop there. And he not with our sins, he dealt with our sins. He justified us before a holy God. He says, you're all right now. And then Jesus couldn't be held by death, so he rose from the grave. And 3 days, you know, that third day after he died, he rose. We call Easter, you know, the resurrection day. And then he went further. Yeah, he ascended into heaven. And he's seated at the right hand of the Father right now. And he's coming back. And now he's going to have another name. He has this name of Faithful and True on one thigh, other thigh saying he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So the names are powerful and have meaning, but it just depends on who's carrying that name. Because if it's some other person besides Christ, it will fall short. It will fail. It will fade away into insignificance. But this Jesus, this person, is significant to the umpteenth. I used to say something like that. I can't remember what I used to say. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name. And they're talking about that name is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That's why they got particular. Where was he from? Because this isn't just Jesus Christ from, you know, this. No, this is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. This is the Messiah. This is the promised one. And there's no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Praise the Lord for that. So what do? Call upon his name, you know, call. Call upon his name. Have you called upon the name of Jesus Christ? Have you? Have you called upon his name? I know a lot of people use his name as a curse word, but they have no idea what they're saying. Just like those people who nailed Jesus on the cross. They had really no idea what they were doing. So have you called upon the name of Jesus as your Savior and Lord? That's a question for us. Because that name does bring salvation. Because of the person that carries that name. There's a wonderful scripture here. I don't know why this popped in. The Lord just gave this to me. But the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. You can't fake it. You can't call on the name. I know a lot of people have called upon the name. I know, like when we're in Thailand, a lot of people rose their hands. You know, Jesus is your Savior. Yeah! Yes! But then they never could walk it. It never really was a sincere opening of a heart. Somebody saying, Jesus, you're awesome, and just falling down before him and saying, forgive me for my sins. See, when you meet Christ, you're going to have to deal with your sin because he's holy. And there's going to be a conviction in our hearts, and we're going to see how sinful we are before this Savior. And we're going to confess our sins with a true heart. and you're going to repent. Your life is going to start being turned around and changing from then on. Turning from, you know, we're heading this way away from God. Now all of a sudden, now you're turning and you're starting to come towards Him on that track. That name of Jesus Christ. So if you haven't fallen down before Christ, maybe you really haven't given your life to Christ. Maybe you really haven't met the cross and really understood what it all means for you. Because that's your sin that put Him on the cross, this innocent man. Unjust trial. But He was willing to go through all that, all the... If you ever seen that movie, what's that movie again with the Easter, the Passion of Christ, and He's just flogged and ripped, His skin is just ripped apart. You know, the mocking going on and all that stuff, hanging on the cross for you and me. So if you haven't really looked at that cross, and if you haven't felt the weight of your sin, then you need to do that. You need to get real with yourself. Because if you think, I know Jesus and all that, now that, you know what? There's a lot of people who call upon His name, but they never confess their sins. They've never dealt with their sins on the cross. They've never given them. They hold on to their sins because I'm good enough. Oh, I got this. Or God's not big enough for my sin. Oh, yeah, He is. The one who created the whole universe, I think He's big enough to take away your sin. So get serious with that when you call upon the name of the Lord. You know, in times of distress, in times of pain, shouts of joy, calling upon Him, calling upon Him. Sing His praises out loud. And it comes down to this one thing. Don't be like this, all right, where Juliet's going, Romeo, Romeo, wherefore thou art, Romeo. You know, it's kind of like desperation. You know, Romeo, where are you? Don't do that with God. Don't do that with God. Don't go, where are you, God? Just go, Jesus, help me. Jesus Christ, I need you in my life. Don't be looking for some other thing, some other person. Don't go looking for Romeo. Don't go looking for Juliet. All right? We're looking for Christ Jesus first. Christ Jesus, the anointed Savior. Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus, the chosen Savior of each one of us. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your name. Thank You for who You are, because that name really doesn't have any meaning unless it's who You are, really who You are. And so, Father, I do rejoice in that You are the Savior of the world. You are the King of kings and Lord of lords. You are the creator of the universe. You are the one who walked on this earth, both man and God, in one person. To break the power of the enemy, to defeat death, and to give us life everlasting. May we hold this true. May we call upon Your name. May we call upon Your name for all sorts of reasons, knowing that we're calling on a person of Jesus Christ who really loves us and cares for us and knows us and sees us and will always be with us no matter what. So, Father, thank You for this time together in Your word, Your precious living word. We praise You for it in the name of Jesus Christ. And all of His people say, amen. Amen.